Now that Christmas Day is out of the way and the year is winding down, I wanted to invite onto the show some friends who have been incredibly busy over 2018. And a new friend I made this year is partially sighted playwright Amy Bethan Evans, who seems to be constantly working, whether it's in the theatre, awareness raising, or just finding time to contribute to RNIB Connect Radio. Amy joins me on the line now. Amy, how are you this Boxing Day?
I'm very well. Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well as well. I mean, Boxing Day is one of those days that I absolutely love because it feels like all the pressure and build up to Christmas is now finally out of the way and we can start relaxing. How are you doing?
I like the pressure and build up, actually. I like Christmas Eve best.
Christmas Eve? Wow, you are one for pressure.
Yeah, well, I was travelling back to Bristol at Christmas Eve. So I was flitting back and forth to London. So, I've only been in Bristol a couple of days, so I guess I'm still catching up.
It's always nice to be around family, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I've always considered this week, the week between Christmas Day and the New Year, as my favourite time of the year. How do you spend this week? Do you give yourself a break?
I don't know if you remember watching Room 101 when Alexander Armstrong was on it, but he wanted to put these days into Room 101, like the 27th to the 30th of December. And like until quite recently, I was with him. But like at the moment, it's nice. Yeah, it's just a few days for me to have in Bristol, which is lovely, actually.
It is incredible, Amy. You have been incredibly busy this year. I can understand that it's nice to have a couple of days where you don't have to put the pressure on yourself as much as you might like it on Christmas Eve.
I'm going to just wake up and start writing at some point during the night.
You're so good. Now, as I mentioned, it has been an incredible year for you, but can you tell us some of your highlights of 2018?
A massive highlight of 2018 for me was Libby's Eyes. That was at the Bunker in June, and that was a brilliant experience. Yeah, it was my first professionally produced play with like proper flyers and everything, and getting good reviews and things like that. That was great.
It was great that we got a chance to talk about Libby's Eyes because there's so few plays out there that are written by someone who's partially sighted, and the entire cast was either blind or partially sighted,
no,
is that right?
No, that's not true. There were two visually impaired actors because I had two visually impaired characters. The other four actors were sighted.
But their characters were sighted?
Yes.
See, it makes sense. You had the right people playing the right roles, and that's incredibly important. Yeah. One of the conversations that you were involved in with RNIB Connect Radio this year was the very hotly debated, and it's still going on our Twitter feed, the ability of so many film production companies to want to cast fully able-bodied actors to play blind characters or disabled characters. This is something that really gets your heckles up, isn't it?
It's a no-brainer for me. And, you know, if you want to support partially sighted people, partially sighted actors are some of those people, and you should be stopping fully sighted actors taking their job.
This conversation, Amy, involved the company Extant, who you're now working with as well.
Yeah, that's right.
What is it that Extant do for the blind and partially sighted community?
Extant are about engaging with visually impaired artists of across many media. So what they've done for me, they gave us some support for Libby's Eyes through the Tim Gebbels bursary. And they also commissioned my monologue, Tinted, which was performed at the Bloomsbury Festival in October, which was very exciting. And I'm doing some work for them at the moment, a project called Enhance, where I'm showing companies how to be more visually impaired accessible.
We had a conversation earlier this year as well about the Edinburgh Festival Fringe and how they are very much saying that they are trying to be accessible for all, but a statistic came out that said that they're still less than 50% accessible for many blind, partially sighted or disabled people.
Yeah.
What's your experience of the theatre and putting on plays or even attending events with accessibility issues?
Well, I think a festival, the whole nature of it isn't naturally accessible. And I think you need to accept that if you're going to try and make it accessible. The arts want to be inclusive. And it's quite easy to get defensive when being told that you're not being inclusive, especially as there's no one-size-fits-all for access. For me, I think visually impaired access is often the bottom of a lot of places' agendas. And the reason for that is that it often clashes with other access. For example, the University in Manchester controversy, where they ask people not to clap, well, and to wave instead. Well, waving isn't accessible to visually impaired people. It's a different relationship between visually impaired people and other disabled people. There are a lot of visually impaired people that don't identify as disabled. I do, for several reasons. And for me, it's very important that I do. You know, I think it's helpful to embrace visually impaired access as access within the wider disabled community, because then organizations will get their thinking caps on and just, you know, and consider us as part of all the other people they consider.
Absolutely. And we have spoken earlier, Amy, about how outspoken you are, whether when debating on RNIB Connect Radio or on social media. Your level of awareness raising is fantastic. Has there been anything that has come up over 2018 that has either really annoyed you or something that you think, well, you know, that's brilliant, let's heap some praise on that?
Yeah, you know, there's both things, really. Edinburgh Fringe really listened to me, I think, when I raised all those issues, and that was great. And it takes a lot for somebody to come out and say, you know, we were wrong and we want to help. I think something that has made me very angry this year, actually, it's the constant debating around the inclusivity of deaf and disabled people and deaf and disabled actors particularly. And one of the controversies that has come up this year has been to do with the Elephant Man and casting a non-disabled actor and the people that are sharing that. And there was a forum, a particular social media forum, where this was shared by somebody who I am presuming is non-disabled because of their lack of awareness of the subject when posting it. And loads of other non-disabled people weighing in and saying things like, oh, it's acting, oh, that's a complicated condition, you're not going to find somebody with that exact condition, what's the point of the creative industries otherwise? And just not only missing the point, but talking so loudly that people that knew the point didn't feel confident enough to weigh in. And there were disabled people from that particular group messaging me and saying that they wanted to leave the group because of the ignorance of the conversation that was happening. And I thought, well, that isn't right. So I went against my better judgment and commented. And 4 hours later, and I've said, hi, non-disabled people, do you think you could move over a bit and give some disabled people room to talk about this? Because, you know, you've got some people in this forum that are very knowledgeable on this subject, but they're not feeling confident enough to speak. And the first reply I got was, everyone is entitled to an opinion. I don't know the abilities of anyone else in this group, and I'd wager that you don't either. I was like, well, actually, I do, there, because there are several disabled people in this group that are messaging me and saying that they want to leave it. And also, there is a massive disability arts forum. And, you know, and just the fact that you've never heard of us and you don't know in this group who is part of that, shows to me your level of ignorance and, you know, your lack of qualification to be commenting on this. And, you know, I think when you face barriers as well, that impairs your confidence. To not make room for people that have faced barriers is a massive level of privilege. And it's just ignorant, really. And I see that so many places, like people using the argument that everyone is entitled to an opinion. Well, yes, everyone is entitled to an opinion. The people who have experienced barriers and have experienced trauma are going to be less forthright with their opinions than other people. You know, those are the people that surely you want to hear from when you're making decisions of this kind.
I do love the way that you not only use social media, Amy, but the way that you speak for people who feel that their voices are being shouted down. And one of the problems with places like Facebook and Twitter is it's generally the loudest person in the room who dominates the conversation, whether they have the knowledge or not. But what you do using your social media is provide a voice that's well thought out and reasoned in a world where social media has so often become the loudest person in the room, as I say. How do you manage to keep your temper when in these debates?
Sometimes I don't. Yeah, I think that's very kind of you to say, because you know, I'm not sure how much I do manage that. But at the same time, you know, I think for me, the reason that I write is a form of disability activism. You know, and I think when you're bearing in mind that you're speaking for not just yourself, but other people, you've got to leave the personal out of it. You've got to get to the, you know, you've got to get to the forefront of the issue at hand. I very rarely speak about my own experiences when I'm weighing in on things like this, because they're distracting from the issue at hand. And actually what they do is they give people some ammunition to turn around and beat you with, as it were. It's about showing that this isn't something that you only care about because it affects you personally. It's something that you care about because, you know, it affects a lot of people that aren't you, and it affects the world at large. And I think that's often the way forward, and to just show that you're knowledgeable. Actually, another thing that wound me up, I was watching The Last Leg, which is one of my favourite current affairs programmes. It's a satirical news show, and it's hosted by Adam Hills. I don't know if you've seen it.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's very popular with the disabled community because of Adam Hills and Alex Brooker, and, you know, their disability focus and their coverage of the Paralympics, which is fantastic. And lots of people were tweeting them asking if it was okay for The Rock to play an amputee. And Adam Hill said he didn't mind The Rock playing an amputee because it raised awareness of being an amputee. The result of that was that a load of non-disabled people now use that in their argument. Well, Adam Hill says it's okay, therefore it's okay. And obviously Adam Hill is entitled to his own opinion. And as an amputee, he's very much entitled to an opinion on this subject. And if he doesn't mind, he doesn't mind. But at the same time, he has to appreciate the responsibility that comes in a position like that. Like, quite often, that show is the only access a lot of non-disabled people have to the disabled community. And by giving that opinion without voicing why a load of other disabled people were unhappy about it, he did his viewership a massive disservice.
It was one of the debates that we were rolled up in intensely this year, Amy. Now, knowledge, awareness raising, social justice and activism, all of these things come through you, not only on social media, but of course in your writing as well. And 2018 was a brilliant year for you, Amy, but it's almost over. So what have you got? What have you got lined up for 2019? And more importantly, what are your ambitions for the new year?
I'm just going to sit under a tree and wait for a fairy to bring me a commission. I'm currently doing the BBC Writers Access Room, so I'm writing a screenplay for that. So I'm trying to see where that takes me. I've never written for screen before, so that's exciting. The idea is a spec script, so the idea isn't that it gets made. The idea is that it's a calling card and can hopefully get me some television work. Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting to hear back on some funding that I've applied for. I can't go into too much detail about that. I am producing a writing platform for disabled writers at the Vault Festival in March with a disabled director called Stephen Bailey. So, yeah, that's all getting off the ground at the moment. Still doing some work with the work with Xstamp of helping companies be visually impaired accessible. Doing some mentoring as well for Mainspring Arts. They're doing a script writing program called Square Peg for neurodivergent writers, and I'm mentoring one of those writers as I'm dyspraxic as well as visually impaired.
It's absolutely incredible, Amy. No one can accuse you of being lazy. Certainly not. Now, if any of our listeners want to find out more about you or follow you on social media, where should they go?
I'm very active on Twitter. My handle is at Amy Bethan Evans. Yeah, I post a lot in Disability Arts Online, the Facebook group, but Twitter is probably the best place to find me if you've never met me before, because I don't generally accept Facebook requests from people I don't know. I'm sorry about that, guys.
Well, I absolutely love what you're doing on social media, Amy. I cannot wait to hear your voice in our theatres and hopefully on our television screens in 2019. And I certainly look forward to speaking to you again in the new year. But until then, thank you so much for joining me on RNIB Connect Radio today.
Thank you, Chris. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Amy.
Lovely. Thanks, Chris.